Welcome to NHL Induction Class. I'm John Shannon, as we honor the inductees to the Hockey Hall of Fame for 2019. Long before the Stastnys, long before Fedorov and Alex Mogilny, Václav Nedimanský defected from Czechoslovakia to play in North America, first in the WHA and then in the NHL. Today, he goes to the Hockey Hall of Fame. Václav, thanks for joining us. How much of a surprise is this to you?
I wouldn't think about it at all. There was some trying to put me my name in the discussion before a couple of years ago. So, but I play hockey because I like the game, and I never was thinking about the Hockey Hall of Fame.
So let's go back a little bit. You were, you know, we Canadians, we love hockey. We love discussing hockey. You were one of those names for so many years prior to you coming over that you were a superstar even to us. We were well aware of how well you played in then Czechoslovakia. How aware were you of North America and the NHL?
Well, that time when I started to play for Czech national team and coming to Canada all the time, there was no really any information. There was no newspapers or no film clips or anything. And only my experience always been on the road trip when we played senior teams and junior teams and all the select teams and so on. And I had the chance to watch National Hockey League since middle of 60s. And I knew some players, I knew some names, and I could judge myself that one time I would like to play. It was my long-time dream.
I would assume the biggest name from that perspective would have been Stan Mikita?
Yes. Actually, we were in Chicago when Bobby Hall and Stan Mikita, they played, and they invited us to their room. Then we were there, a array of situation and all how that business works from their perspective, because we are really amateur team, run poorly by few people, and then everything else was very new.
I'm curious. I don't have it in my research, but after the Summit Series in 1972, Canada went to Czechoslovakia to play two games, almost in honor of Stan, and he got a huge response from the fans there. Did you play in either of those games?
Yes, they play only one game.
Oh, one, okay.
I played in Stan Mikita. He was a captain, and he was absolutely standing ovation for him. Just, his name is known for such a long time. And we were leading that game 3-2, and Canada tied up 6 seconds to go.
That's right.
Deflection from the point.
In our country, people forget they started in Sweden. They played games in Sweden before the four games in Moscow, and then went on to Prague to play. That to me was a fascination that I think we've all forgotten about.
Yes.
Are you able to divide your career into what you did for the Czech national team and the Olympics and then your professional career? Do you view it as all as one?
I view it as all as one. You know, I started a long time ago and it just all melted my memories. But I remember all those games and all these occasions. But right now, I just see that as a one hockey career.
So it would be remiss for me not to ask about 1968 and 69. Obviously, the change in politics of Czechoslovakia in 68 forced the World Championships in 69 to move from Prague to Stockholm. And you were part of that great Czech team that actually beat the Soviet Union twice. And as I read about it and watch about it, it became quite a political stance for your country to beat the Soviets twice in that tournament.
Yes, but it was coming because we beat Russia in Olympic Games 68.
Right.
And after that, it's supposed to be a tournament in Canada. We just moved to Sweden, and they played 2 years in a row in Sweden. Then besides that, Czechoslovakia national team was together for maybe 7-8 years. The team was very strong and willing to play to their potential. Plus, that situation which occurred helped us too. It was really mental help and crowds in Sweden, they were strictly for us, cheering, and it was a really great time for us to show that not only Russians can play, and we support all these circumstances. We played really good, and we beat them both times.
Were you aware how important it was at home with the crowds and people on the streets while you were winning those two games?
Yes. Yes, of course, yes.
Was everybody, I was reading about it in school, but was everybody quite political and quite active against the Soviets at home?
Not really. We had no chance. We just play hockey. We are not politically involved. More or less our coaches and management, they were obviously all that time politically involved, and they had their role in all this. But we as the players, we didn't know anything about political situation or no activities.
So in 1974, you make the decision, long before the Stasnys, long before any of the Russians, to defect. Why did you do that?
No, I had no choice, because I was more or less chased out of the country like another athletes and other culture people, and because I wouldn't be able to play and teach and do all that other stuff. And I found out they wouldn't allow me to do that. Then more or less I just prepared the last couple of years, and because I had some problems with them, I just reading from yesterday Czech paper, they suspended me in 72 for 10 games because I wouldn't agree with many of those things. Then it developed to after visit of Cliff Fletcher and David Poyle, the official came over and I sent them to government people. They were never accepted, even discussed with them. Then, and after that, their visit, I was followed by all this institutional, and it ended up with taking my passport and telling me that I'd be punished if I do something differently.
You could have been in Atlanta with the Flames with Cliff and David Poyle.
Yes, that's correct.
That would have been, you might have saved the franchise.
No, but actually I found out later that I think that National Hockey League and International Hockey Federation, they had agreement if somebody would jump that they is in suspension for 18 months.
Really?
And that time actually I wouldn't think about that. You can check this rule if you can find somewhere. Okay. The initial decision was probably between Toronto, which city which I loved, and I was there many times before. I had more friends there. And it was much better situation for me than going to Atlanta, mm-hmm. even if it was National Hockey League.
Yeah, I was going to say, so your communication to go to the WHA and the Toronto Toros, was that directly with John Bassett, or was it Jill Leger? Who was it?
No, that time I think the manager was Buck Hull. Buck Hull, he was manager that time.
Buck Hull, yeah.
And I make some contact, before going to Toronto. It was a big tournament there, Royal Bank of Canada, I think 72 or 73. And I started to observe more situation, more contacts. Then I was somehow in connection with the people there. But once if I went to vacation for two weeks of vacation to Switzerland, mm-hmm. and I approached those people and they arrived to Switzerland, and we had directly discussion about possibilities.
What did you think of the WHA?
No, that time I didn't know much about it, obviously. Like I said, I knew about New League, and I knew some names. They jumped because of mostly of financial differences with National Hockey League. Mm-hmm. Then I really couldn't judge before. And unless I when I end up in first training camp, then I could make that observation of how is hockey played and what kind of players are there and stuff like that.
Well, you had quite a bit of success when you think about you had 41 goals, 56 goals in the two seasons in Toronto. So you were actually the first 50 goal scorer in the city of Toronto, long before Rick Vive became the first 50-goal scorer for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I mean, history of hockey is my hobby, too. And I just remember that. Regardless, I scored like from playing from the guard, scored 56. I remember that. It was a guy named Tom Simpson, he scored 52, I believe, and Ricky Wife, and maybe one more, like over 50.
I think Dave Handrichuk scored his 50th as a Maple Leaf.
But
Tommy Simpson, I got a confession, Vaslav. I loved that Toronto Toros team that you were on. Shotgun Tom Simpson and Lou Nistico and Peter Marin.
Yeah.
You guys seemed to have so much fun playing the game.
But obviously, it was a combination of that. Some people, they were very good. Some people, they had to fight for jobs. And competing with Leafs that time, it wasn't possible because of that situation. We had a small dressing room in the corner there. Mm-hmm. There was just no room for anything. Times, according to needs for Leafs, that we were always second, practicing early or just doing all this stuff. And thanks to John Bassett, who tried to do better team, and I think he would do that if he had better economic situation that time, because Mr. Barani wouldn't let him do that. And the team was playing good and hard, and we played actually against Atlanta 2 weeks later from Birmingham, and we won that game.
You left Toronto. The team moved in 2 years after.
Yes.
Was there a bit of a culture shock to move to the U.S. South? Was it? How different was it for you?
No, it was, I thought, a naive young man. I thought that Toronto is my home and I'm going to be there forever. Then we bought our first house in 76, maybe March, in North York, Valley Road, just south of 401. And I was happy very much. And all of a sudden they said, we are moving to Birmingham. Then there was no really... There was nothing to think about, and we just moved. And then that actually Birmingham, it's football strong country, and it was interesting to be there. But it was easy, no pressure. You know, they didn't know hockey much, but still they had 10,000 people for games, and it was a temporary good time for us.
And that was a team that the longer they stayed in Alabama. There was a real belief that they had to get tougher to play the game. So, in essence, in the end, we saw something that we rarely saw at that period of time, as we saw a trade between a WHA team and an NHL team, and you got traded, along with Tim Sheehy, I think, to the Red Wings.
Yes.
To the Red Wings for two of the toughest players in the history of the game, one of them being Steve Durbano.
Yes, yeah.
And Dave Hansen. So,
yes.
Coming back to the North and coming back to the Red Wings that had not had much success at that time, but you were part of a group of guys that finally got the Red Wings back in the playoffs.
Well, by that time, I just had a lot of feeling because of World Hockey League. Probably they had feeling that it's going to be measured or closed down. They just tried to bring young people, and if you remember that time, World Hockey League was signing players 18 years old.
Sure.
And National Hockey League couldn't do that time. And that's why they had Kendall Linsman and Napier and all those young guys, they went to World Hockey League.
Vive, Tony McKegney, yeah. John Tinelli went to Houston, I believe.
Yes.
So did you ask to be traded, though? Did you ask to get out?
Of course not. We were actually living in Birmingham with Frank Mahomes together, my good friend. And the manager, Jill Leger, that time, he came one night and he just, we after dinner, and he just told me, I'm just going to trade you. And Frank jumped up and almost beat him up. We were friends playing together. Then no, I didn't know about that. But Ted Lindsay, that time, he followed me a little bit, and when it came to the time, then they just need that exchange. And it was for me actually much better because I found that the National Hockey League was much cleaner and with better players, and everything was just better at the times.
So that was it. Yeah, Ted Lindsay was the general manager. Bobby Crum, I believe, was the coach in Detroit.
Bobby Crum was coach, yes.
And you played at the old Olympia one of the oldest buildings. Yes. It's not there anymore, but one of the old buildings. What do you remember about that?
Well, impressed. You know, it was a little smaller rink and very steep seating. And it was close to the crowd. They were not so loud all the time, obviously, but still we play good. And we play, unfortunately, we were in division with the Montreal. That time they won like four times in a row. Mm-hmm. And when we had to play them, when we made playoffs, then we lost, usually 4-2. I don't know. But we beat first round this Atlanta team. It was first time success in playoffs. And some games were very good. Very good. I wouldn't complain. Fluctuation of the players still was strong because we had lots of players and they trying all these not really known players that they sometimes it was just difficult.
So
I
was actually at the Olympia Václav for games 3 and 4 of that Montreal series in 1978.
Yes.
I was in the penalty box working for Hockey Night in Canada. And to start the game, I was there to tell the referee when to drop the puck. And I got pelted with octopi.
Really?
And do you remember when, you know, that time in Detroit, that was a tradition. Octopus, as you're a hockey historian, octopus is a tradition. What did you think of that when you first saw it?
Not much. I never experienced that before. But I remember that game. I'm not sure if it is 78. We played first game playoffs in Montreal. We won. We played second game at home, and we were leading after 2. And they scored like 2 shorthand goals, they won our game. The series over. I know it was that year.
Was that the best team you ever played against in North America, the Montreal Canadiens?
That time, probably. And unfortunately, I played not only center but right wing. And when Scotty Bowman still coaching Montreal, I believe that time. Mm-hmm. And I played right side. My checking winner was Bob Gainey, and left defenseman Larry Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
And drive to the net. It was difficult to do something.
Well, particularly both the Olympia, the ice surface at Olympia, and at that point the ice surface at the Forum are a little smaller. So you wouldn't have much space to work with, would you?
Not really. But it was different game. You know, I just used to play more with my players on the ice, but with changes of lines and different styles. Some players would only shoot. If I would give it a puck, many times wouldn't come back. Then I many times had a problem with everyone telling me shoot, 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 but I was trained different way. I was training to find the best situation and scoring goals, nice goals. But that's fine. I enjoy that all the time because always people are friendly and Detroit team with Danny Mahoney, captain.
Mm-hmm.
And still, I met Detroit, lots of players which I like, and I'm keeping in touch with them until now.
My other memory of Detroit, forgive me, this is as much about me as it is you right now, is that there was a Super Series game between, I think it was either Wings of the Soviet or Moscow Dynamo.
Yes.
At the Olympia that you were part of, then there was a giant Czech protest during the game. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
My memory of that night was the protest was so loud. There was a giant giant poster that people were carrying around the inside of the arena that all the Soviet players could see.
Yeah, they started standing behind the net, one side, and there's signs. But I know exactly what was about. Yeah, I know it did happen. I remember that clearly, but I forgot why.
So you, your time in Detroit was, you view it as successful. You were happy there.
Obviously, I spent there 20 years. But besides playing, and I had very good years and success, obviously.
Right.
And we stayed there because kids, they went to school, to good schools, and it was easy that time but you really lived like in the bubble because you are in hockey ring, you are home.
Mm-hmm.
And I played tennis in one club and practiced there, and it was like between those three, and school was very close. And that time it wasn't really much to do in Detroit. It was just bad times. And I probably memorized mostly of people, they know I'm Detroit player.
Right.
And all this asking to sign cards, all this stuff, it is daily and it's all Detroit.
But you signed as a free agent in New York because I assume, as I understand, you liked the way Herb Brooks played the game?
Yes. But coming back to Detroit, I just have a bad time still because of Eagleson. I don't like to mention even his name.
Mm-hmm.
And I had offered contract for 15 plus 5 years with Detroit.
Right.
It was signed by club, but didn't sign by agent. And I laughed at all. And when, after my best years, 35, 36 years old, when team was sold, then Jimmy DeVellano came in and they bought out my contract. I just paid 2 more years. And after that, I was actually free agent, 38 years old. And because I watched since Olympics with Herb Brooks, and I all have that history, and I know he was a favorite of so-called European player. And I just decided I just going to go for training camp. And I went to took my car, I went to training camp and made a team and spent a year with short period of time in St. Louis.
Well, I guess you had to go through waivers, right?
Yes, because that time it was after first game, it was 48 hours of waivers.
Right.
And we played first game at home, and I scored goal and assist. And after second period, the Brooks coming down, and he said, "Ned, stop doing that because then somebody may pick you up again."
Yeah. So you end up going.
2 days later, I come in for practice, and Brooks called me and said, "Too bad, Emil Francis, he picked you up again." Because Emil Francis was behind all this about the New York Rangers.
Right.
It was a long time ago, 30 years ago, he always tried to get me there. When he left as a manager of New York Rangers, he went to St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And when I was available, then he picked me up.
But then, obviously, your relationship with Mr. Francis was good enough that when you asked him to trade you, he did.
Yes.
He did.
Yes, I asked him about maybe before Christmas. Because, like I said, I enjoyed New York very much because of the scenery, Madison Square Garden and Brooks and all these my friends which I had that time. And I was used more than usually. And I don't know if you know, I scored in 30 games, 13 power play goals. And he just let me set up all this setup, and we had some combination of player, that time Ruotsalainen, Finnish player was there,
mm-hmm.
and Swedes and Finns, and when I play there sometimes, come back after 1 minute, and he said, "Go back and do whatever, just go and finish that shift." It was unusual and unheard of today that somebody would, well, some players stay there, but it was unusual that time.
He's a remarkable man, cool. Herb Brooks. You know, he's a remarkable man. I got to work with him for a few years as well, and I don't think there's anybody who had a philosophy of the game that was so focused, and he believed in such flow of the game that you would have been a perfect player for him.
Because sometimes he uses his different motivation, and some guys, they just look around and just, what he's saying, talking about. I knew what he was talking about. That's why it was easy and enjoyable for me.
Well, you get to join Herb Brooks in the Hall of Fame. I know Herb has passed away, but Herb was honored a few years back, so that will be something special for you and certainly, I would think, for the Brooks family as well. I want to go back, Václav, to your childhood. When did you know you wanted to be a hockey player?
I played other sports, and when the hockey rink was built in my hometown, it was 56. And all these guys from the streets and from the lakes, we decided to play hockey because it's new hockey. And I was 12 years old, and since then I started to play. And all is history.
But at that point, I would assume that, you know, you had the choice between playing hockey or soccer. Would that be fair? Or you would call it football?
Yeah, I play soccer and I play tennis. And I kept continuing to play all the sports during the hockey season, but one of this time when couldn't do that, then I decided to play hockey. But we had a great coach and motivated, and I remember that first time we are going to the rink, and he had all equipment, like all bunch of different sizes, colors, and quality. And we are on first practice, and he brought his equipment, threw that on the floor. He said, guys, here's your equipment. Pick it up, and we go practice. And he took whatever was available. Obviously, bad quality, no hockey sticks, all this old-time sticks which you couldn't use anymore.
Right.
But still, it was enjoyable because we built that. We were helping to build that hockey. And then after 50 years later, they named that ring after our club, Nedomensky.
Oh, wow.
And that's I'm very, very happy and proud of that.
When you think of what you've gone through and the growth of Czech and let's face it, Czech and Slovak hockey, you've been a driving force. You grew up in on the Czech side of the border, but you played a ton in Bratislava. The growth of hockey in your two countries, you must be proud of.
Yeah, they are actually. But that time they wouldn't really say they were just chasing us and not giving us any chance to develop better.
Right.
And then I went to Bratislava again because of well-known coach, and I finished high school. Then I like to study. I studied physical education and biology. Then that was available in Bratislava. Then I went there. First, I had actually exams in school. And when I was accepted to school, then we just called the coach. And same thing, we just went on walk on for summer, kept training, because that time we trained during the summer twice a day. Then I was accepted and started to play right away. It was a very fortunate situation.
So who was the driving force? Who were the people, when you look back, I know it's a long time ago, who were the people in your life that made you the hockey player you were in Czechoslovakia?
Well, I think that time when I went to Bratislava, because that was coach Ladislav Horsky, and he admired Russian style of training and style of five people, playing five, off-wing situation and all this different stuff. But we train twice a day during the summer, and train on the ice at the same time. And I had a good players. That team was good all the time. Then we never finished first, but we always like second, third. Then after 1 year playing there, I moved to top line or two top lines, and I had a chance to play last. And I like practice. I like practice very much. Then practice day by day and improve my game and try to do play with desire. I was really in that force of try to win.
And I know you've been asked this a ton. You, when you defected in 74, you didn't think you would ever go back. But the world has changed a great deal. And the country that you grew up in doesn't even exist anymore. It's two countries. Do you view yourself as a Czech where you were born, or do you view yourself as a Slovak where you developed so much of your hockey skill?
No. I was born as a Czech.
Yes.
But after that time I left, they stripped me about everything, which included citizenship. Mm-hmm. It is a touchy situation, but it is true, because of that system, they just didn't allow to players excel. You have to be on one line and do everything same and listen to what they're telling you and be idle for local kids and stuff like that. And all those people, when I left, they still stay in system. That's why I never would go back unless that changes in situation. Plus my job with LA Kings. I would go there after 20 years first time. But I would probably wouldn't go by on my own, because I was still wouldn't trust them at all, because what happened to me is just difficult.
So you have never been back, or you have been back?
I have. I was scouting for LA Kings,
right.
And I went. I was European scout. And I was sent there for a tournament, and we went with another my friend who is also scouting in the first time in probably 19 or 20 years after I left. Obviously, I had some documentation telling me that I'm free to go there, because before I was I had another documentation that says if I would be stopped that time, he would put me in jail for 4 years. It was just a situation when I was walking first time, and I was sweating, and I was looking over my shoulder, and in my hotel room, I locked myself and stuck my chair against the door because I know if somebody coming or not.
And who in North America has been an influence on your career and your life?
Well, I have a number of people which I met first time and still in touch with them. Then I would say it was just a combination of those, but I don't like to go to details much. But first guy in Toronto, Frank Mahovlich, he was the first guy who called me and made contact. We were together and we are friends until today.
Talk about a great hockey player. Holy smokes.
Yeah, I play with him mostly of time, but not all the time, but mostly of time on those years we played together. And it was so easy. And he played his style, which you know, and I play my style.
Mm. And that would be an easy line to talk about, the Big M and the Big Ned. So.
Yeah.
And what about your family? Vaslav, they obviously made sacrifices for all of this, and where are they now? And obviously, you're in Los Angeles now. Your son's a successful in the film industry, but what about the rest of your family?
My parents, they don't live anymore, and my children, Lashi, he lives in outside of Los Angeles. My daughter, she was born in Toronto September 1st, 76. She lives and works in Hawaii, and I don't see her much. And I divorced about 92, and my second wife now, we are together like 22 years. My adopted daughter, she is successful in business. She went to school in California University, and she works as a she is a manager and she works as a designer for different companies, and she lives in Portland, Oregon right now. And that's about it. I don't have any more except one 90 years old. My mother's sister, she is still there, but we don't have anyone else in that part of country. We are all here.
So if I would have told you when you were coming out of, for the sake of argument, the Olympics in Sapporo, Japan, that at some point you're going to live in California, you're going to have a daughter that lives in Hawaii, one in Portland, Oregon, and a son that lives in Los Angeles, you would have told me I was on something, I would suggest. It's a fantastic story that you and your family have been able to come to North America and thrive and succeed.
See, again, when you're young, you're desperate to succeed and trust yourself, your capability, and hoping your health is going to be good. It is obviously the risk taking in that situation, but thank you to John Bassett. They just somehow secured me for 5 years first time, and I went through all that stuff without a serious injury. And I worked until last year, all those years, I worked for National Hockey League for over 30 years. In different positions, and I'm really must be happy. You see, somehow circle is closed down. You know, it's really started in Toronto and ended up in Toronto this month. And if it wasn't easy sometimes, you know, with this movement and changes and all this stuff. But you have to do what you have to do.
Well, and when you also consider that people used to always think that this was the NHL Hall of Fame, you are a testament. To think that you are a testament, Vaslav, that this is truly the Hockey Hall of Fame because of your Olympic gold, your international play. There aren't many players from the WHA in the Hockey Hall of Fame. You're going to be one of them. I think this is, to me, an acknowledgement of the greatness of your whole career, not just your career in North America.
I appreciate that you're saying that. And always, try to be nice to everyone, and they're coming back to me even now and try to be responsible and expecting. I didn't think that way, but now I know it was good, that I have not really problems, except it was not only good people, but obviously I met some really problematic people, and after Saldana, I had to say no too many times, and I only learned that. And it helped me actually to develop not only my hockey skills here, but all my develop all my look on the world and feeling about people. And I like communicate hockey, even though I don't do that very often. Hmm. But it is a very interesting sport and developing, and I went through every phase of that development, from player to coach to management to developing skills, to different camps and all this stuff. Then it is not by accident.
Are you still playing?
No, I can't play. I had surgery 7 years ago, and since then I cannot actively do anything. Just surviving, because all my life was sports. I play in professional soccer, I play tennis at top level, and hockey. And after surgery, now it is seven years. Since then, I can hardly walk. I just walk my dog for 5 minutes, and I just do my stuff, but I cannot exercise. I used to be there. And that's only sad part.
Hmm. Well, when you come to Toronto, I want you to enjoy yourself and know that there are thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of people thrilled that will be honored in the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel that. That's obviously, Canada is so special. And some of part of U.S., they are great for hockey too. But it means so much more than hockey overseas. They cannot even judge or feel how big it is. Hmm. And I did lots of interviews in Czech and Slovak language, and they fishing. They don't know, you know. It's one man supposed to come to Toronto because he said he was talking about those terms you are talking about. They wouldn't let him go because financial problems. They wouldn't pay for a trip like that. And they just doing everything, just only now it's internet and now it's television. They just commenting on the hockey stuff only from second hand or third hand. You know, they are not actively involved. And as far as National Hockey League, they coming here only just for a game or two, or some coaches coming in, and they have no idea how country is big and how hockey is organized, all that thing. And it is to be in North America if you like to be a hockey player.
Well, you've helped make it better in Europe, and certainly in Canada and the United States. And I will tell you right now, this has been an absolute thrill and an absolute honor for me to have a few minutes with you to talk about the game we both love. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. You're very kind.
That's Vasilav Nedimansky. Great player, great person, someone who stood his ground and made a difference for his native country. Just a reminder, you can rate and review this podcast. Feedback is always appreciated. I'm John Shannon. Thanks for listening to this edition of NHL Induction Class.